Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Anything to lose. I have no secrets to how I could just be blunt and people could judge it however they judge it.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Truth and Justice. In this episode of Season 18, our Justice Warriors season, we have a special guest. I was lucky enough to get a little preview of her new podcast that's going to be, well, for you guys listening to this, it will have come out a few days ago. When I'm recording this, it's not out yet, so I feel extra special. I'm here with Jen Miller from the Blood Will Tell podcast. Jen, thank you so much for joining me. I'm super excited to talk about this.
Bob, thanks so much for having me on. This is a great opportunity.
Yeah, we were just discussing off the air for a minute how to do it, because it's not often that I get to a full preview of something before we listen to it. I'm like, oh, I know how it ends. How are we going to like get through this? So we're going to carefully go through and give you guys some idea of what this new podcast is about without giving away spoilers. When you guys are listening to this on Sunday, episodes 1 and 2 are out now. So let me say this. If you guys are interested, and you're going to be interested, and you don't want any of the spoilers about those first couple episodes, you can hit pause here, go check out Blood Will Tell. Listen to those first two episodes. This is the perfect way to handle it, Jen. You guys go listen to the first two episodes, then come back and hear this, because there will be some spoilers for the first two since they're already out, and then the rest of the series that we'll dance around carefully. But before we do that, Jen, tell us a little bit about yourself, because is this your first venture into podcasting?
This is my first venture into podcasting. Yeah, I've been a journalist for the last 25 years, written a lot for the New York Times and the Washington Post. I write books, both fiction and nonfiction, but I have not really done audio before this. But I've been working on this for the last 6 years, so I feel like I'm really in it.
That was the crazy thing to me when I was listening to the series and I was like tracking the conversations that you were having. I had it down to Chung and On is the way I hear it on the podcast.
Trung and On.
It's yeah. Trung. Then I saw it written. I'm like, okay, it's Trung and On. And I'm like, she's been talking to these guys for years and years. Like, what a journey to get to the point where this thing. How are you feeling about it? Because right now when we're talking, it hasn't launched yet. How are you feeling about that whole process?
I'm excited. I mean, both of the twins, so this is a story, Blood Will Tell is a story focused on two identical twin brothers who get caught up in a whole mess of stuff. And I was really nervous, actually, how they were going to respond to it, because they are extremely vulnerable. Like, they make themselves really vulnerable. It's a really hard story. It doesn't necessarily make them look good a lot of the time. And there's a bunch of safety concerns, because we're dealing with organized crime. We're dealing with street gangs. And so I had to tread really carefully to make sure that they were safe and protected, but to still tell a really good story. Yeah. I was nervous. Like, did I accomplish that balance? And they have listened to it and they do feel good about it. And I feel good about it. So I think, like, at least for now, I'm feeling pretty good.
That's good. You know, I hadn't even thought about that till you said that. Like, yeah, there would be some pretty serious concerns for them, or could be potentially some concerns with the way the story is coming out. Were some of the names changed from some of the people involved, or were they, so those weren't the actual names of the people that?
Yeah. So, I mean, the twins, Trung and An, those are their real names. A number of their friends, we also use their real names with their permission. But there are a handful of sources in the story, either folks that we weren't able to interview or just folks who were worried about their, really worried about their safety. We did change a handful of names. But everything in the story is 100% true and fact-checked.
So before we get into the story itself, I'm really curious about like this process. So this was originally, was it for the Washington Post? It was going to be an article for the Post?
I wrote an article for the Washington Post. I can't actually exactly tell you what the story was about because it's a spoiler. But suffice it to say that I learned about this story because I was researching therapeutic Shakespeare troops, like basically Shakespeare as therapy for people who have been through really intense trauma. And when I was doing that, one of the people in this troupe was Trung, and I just happened to talk to him. I mean, there were like 25 people in this group, and Trung just happened to be the one that I sat down with. And they were rehearsing Othello. It's like the final act of Othello is like very dramatic. Many people are dead on the stage by the end of this play.
Yeah.
And Trung just pours out the most wild story that I have ever heard in my entire life. And from that moment, I was, for many reasons, I was just hooked. And I was like, okay, I have to figure out how I'm going to learn more about this and hopefully be able to tell it one day. That was 2020. That was a month before the pandemic started.
Oh, perfect timing, too.
Perfect.
Yeah. Especially given the circumstances that you were dealing with where that troop was located, that had to make it even more difficult. See all these little clues. You guys will figure it out when you listen. So you're a print journalist and an author. Once you like hear this incredible story, like, did you think, ooh, podcast? Or like, how did you get from there to here?
At first, well, so my first thought was, okay, I'm going to write a book because I've written nonfiction books before. But really, even before that, like, I knew that I was going, so, you know, in journalism, especially if you're a freelancer, like you talk about doing things on spec, like basically you don't have a contract or money to do the thing. You're basically spending all of your time with your fingers crossed that like maybe someone will buy it.
Yeah.
I think probably in film and TV, it's the same way, like you're writing screenplays on spec. And in a way, that's what this situation was, because I knew just based on the craziness of the story, the safety concerns around the story, and the fact that, you know, I am a white girl from New York City, and this is a story about two Vietnamese American twin brothers, like, there's a large gap between us. And there was going to be a lot of trust building that would have to happen before we even broached the topic of whether this would appear in the world. So I knew that I wanted to learn more. I knew that, you know, I was thinking from the beginning, perhaps I will make this an article, make this a book. But first, I just have to start talking to these guys and see how they feel about it. And how do they feel about talking to me? And do they feel comfortable with me? Do they even want to share this story with me? Because there is no Blood Will Tell without the full participation.
Oh, yeah, there couldn't be.
Of Trung and An.
Yeah, it would still be a compelling story, but having their voices throughout the series is what really makes it so incredible.
Exactly.
So before we get into the evolution of it into a podcast, one of the things I want to talk about was the cultural differences. So, you know, our guest last week, we just had on, were two Indigenous women who host the We Are Resilient podcast. And we were talking about, you know, what it's like for people outside of the culture trying to understand the culture. Were there any like hurdles that you really had to get over? And if so, like how? Because you have this Vietnamese American, you know, their parents are immigrants. So you have that kind of cultural barrier there, and even a language barrier with dad.
Yeah.
What were the hurdles you had to get over, and how did you get over those?
Yeah. So I've been a journalist for a really long time. I know that there is a big debate in the journalism community, in the, you know, kind of fiction writer community, you know, who is allowed to tell whose story.
Right.
And I feel very strongly that really anybody can tell a story. You just have to be really responsible and really diligent and really intentional about recognizing what you don't know. So I was nervous, right? And I was very upfront with them. You know, I mean, obviously, they knew that I did not come from their community. But I did have happened to have had like a long-standing interest in Vietnam and the Vietnam War and the aftermath of the Vietnam War and mental health issues surrounding that, which kind of come into play with the twins. And I had done already a lot of reporting about that. I also happened to work for an immigration reform nonprofit and run a storytelling team for them. And so for the last decade, I had actually been working with immigrants and refugees, including Vietnamese immigrants and refugees, to help them tell their stories. So I did have some familiarity and some experience. You know, then you do what a reporter does. You talk to as many people as possible. You read as many books and articles as possible. You just ask questions and you're and you just are really humble about what you don't know. And so that's really what I did. I mean, we were really fortunate. You know, I required when we ultimately sold the podcast, you know, like we had to have a Vietnamese American producer who could provide at least, I mean, there are so many different Vietnamese American experiences, but actually the young woman that we ended up working with grew up in the same community that the twins.
Oh, really?
Did.
That's great.
Yeah. And so had like that kind of familiarity. And then, of course, we didn't want her to like burden her with being like the only voice. So then we had a sensitivity listener who also from the community. So, you know, I just immersed myself. I did so much research and tried to bring on folks to work closely with us who could help me see what my blind spots were.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously bring in, I mean, Trung did a lot of the interpretation for his dad.
Oh, was that him that was translating?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which was really helpful. I mean, it's not his voice who is like his dad.
Oh,
he's not the actor saying the lines, but he did a lot of the interpretation for his dad. And also spending time there on the ground and going to San Jose and, you know, spending time getting to know the twins in person and their friends and their family and their community in person and really just immersing myself as much as I could. And again, just coming at it with that humility of like being open about what I don't know and always asking questions if I'm unsure.
Yeah, I'm glad. So I'm an amateur journalist over the last 11 years. And that's one, you know, and I deal with so many people from different cultures, you know, because I focus on wrongful conviction work. So it takes me all over the place. And I teach investigative journalism to high school students. I'm glad you said it because I feel a little validated. Hopefully I'm doing it right. I would tell them, like, don't be afraid to ask questions. If you don't understand why their culture does something a certain way or feels a certain way about something, instead of making an assumption, ask them. Just tell them, because of our cultural differences, I don't understand this. Can you explain it to me why you guys feel this way? And I've always had great success that way. You certainly did, because, I mean, it seemed very almost like Sarah Koenig, Adnan-esque, like the relationship you guys like built up throughout the years. And I didn't realize when I was listening, like I knew it. It's kind of talked about at the beginning that it spans some time. But it was like in that final episode, I'm like, holy crap, She's been talking to these men for years in establishing that relationship. And I love in the last episode, without giving anything away, like your, I don't know, like your tone, when you suggest to them, you know, the kind of the big finale, it was just like, it was spoken to somebody like who definitely knows these two people very intimately. And it's a subtle shift, but it's the type of thing that I caught on to. It was like, she sounds very different talking to them here than she did at the beginning.
I love that you caught on to that. I mean, I had been talking to them pretty much every week, sometimes twice a week over Zoom for years, sometimes together, sometimes separately. And that was in addition to actually going out there into San Jose and spending time with them. And, you know, a lot of it was just kind of giving them the space. Like, you know, I didn't sit down with Trung the first day and like, you know, it was like, yeah. Tell me about the party where you killed a man.
Right.
Like, tell me about, you know, driving up to the woods and throwing away that knife. Like, I followed his lead and I followed An's lead. And when they were comfortable to share things, then I would kind of gingerly kind of push on it a little bit and always checking in to make sure they were okay. I mean, it's a different kind of journalism than I would do for the New York Times, for example, because when I'm reporting a story for a newspaper, you're going to fact check everything with the source, but you're not thinking, and my feelings on this have evolved for sure, but like certainly earlier in my career, and I think a lot of journalists are like this, like you're not necessarily thinking about the feelings of the people that you're writing about.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the mission. And it can sound a little mercenary, actually, that you're like just trying to get the story. And I mean, I knew for this, I was going to have to take a different approach. I wanted to take a different approach because I like these guys.
Yeah, they are very likable, all things considered.
I'm interrupting this ad break to tell you how you can never have to hear another ad and take a huge step towards helping us continue our work all at the same time. As most of you know, I provide all investigative and advocacy services to the people and attorneys that we cover on the show completely free. Over the years, we provided hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of professional investigations to the wrongfully convicted, completely free of charge. And the reason that we're able to do that is in large part thanks to the support of listeners like you. Our Patreon community funds the overwhelming majority of our work, and I want to take this opportunity to ask and encourage you to join the club. The base level membership is just $5 a month. Now, while that's only a cup of coffee's worth out of your account, it makes all the difference in the world to us and the people that we work with. And for your $5 a month, you get a whole list of extra content, exclusive just for patrons. Every week, Janet, Zach, and I do an hour-long live stream just for our patrons. You also get an unedited video version of the Friday follow-up every week, a weekly pregame podcast that drops into your podcast feed. Patrons often get to participate in interviews that we do on the show live days or weeks before the rest of the audience gets to hear them. And of course, the best part, all of our content is completely ad-free for our patrons at the $5 a month level. Patreon really is the only way that we're able to keep doing this work. And it would mean the absolute world to me, Zach, Janet, and Erica if you'd consider joining if you're able to do so. Joining the Patreon community is super easy. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. Or you can go right to the episode description of this or any episode and just click the link. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support. And now I'll return you to your regularly scheduled ads.
Doing taxes the old way meant handing everything off and just hoping things were moving. But now you can feel confident your taxes are being handled right with Intuit TurboTax. Now you match with a TurboTax full-service expert. Just upload your documents right in the app, and boom, they take it from there. Start to finish, you've got a dedicated expert working your return. They check every deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome, so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And now you're not guessing what's happening, you're seeing it happen. TurboTax gives you real-time updates on your expert's progress while you go about your day. Run errands, grab a coffee, live your life. You're always in the loop. And if a question pops up, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Taxes are finally transparent, easier, and handled. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax full-service experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. 1 in 4 honest, hardworking, taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number, the $1 Million Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year.
That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I want to circle back to at least close the loop on, because you're recording things, and that, and I don't know if that was in anticipation of it becoming a podcast or if it was you were just recording just for notes and then decided later, because like, when did that shift happen? Like, this isn't going to be print, because the stories, I think the story is too big. Like you mentioned a book would work, but it's too big for a New York Times piece. It's too big for an article. Like it needed the space to breathe in this long form podcast. So when did you decide that that's where you're going to go? Someone who doesn't have an audio background decides, I'm going to make this into an audio podcast.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been when I wasn't able to sell the book.
Well, that'll do it. Yeah.
So I had been doing these interviews on Zoom. I had been recording them on Zoom, and I had really just been doing that for notes. You know, like half the time I was like sitting in my, it was like Sunday afternoon. I was like sitting in my bed. I didn't even have a nice microphone. Like I just wasn't thinking about audio at all. And I spent a long time putting together a book proposal, and for a variety of reasons, it didn't work out. I mean, publishing is so hard. Yeah. I actually do suspect that at that time, especially when we were trying to do that, like the race ethnicity gap, like might have been part of the reason. I think that was kind of at the height of like, well, we don't want, you need to match and you don't match. I don't know. Right. I don't know that for sure. And I get it. Like, you know, I don't want to litigate that. So, and I was fairly devastated that I wasn't able to sell it because I had put in years by this point. And I really cared about, I knew that they really wanted to tell this story. And I felt like it was a really important story to tell because you don't get, I mean, I guess ostensibly it's true crime, but it doesn't have the archetypal like true crime trajectory.
Right.
And not to say that it has a happy ending, but it's really about the brothers' relationship. And it's about who they are to each other and like how they remake their lives, like how they influenced each other to become the people that they are. And then on the other side of really what is multiple tragedies, how they then move forward with their lives, how they make amends, if it's even possible to make amends for the harms.
Well, that was one of the questions I had written down that I was going to ask you is, I think I was 3 or 4 episodes in before it occurred to me, like, this isn't a true crime story, or at least not, do you consider it a true crime story? Because it seems, the way it felt to me was like, there's a crime, there's certainly true crime involved, that's kind of the vehicle, but the real story is so much deeper than that. This, you know, there could have been any vehicle that wasn't a crime, and this story would have been just as compelling. Do you consider it a true crime?
I mean, that's how it's kind of being marketed. So yeah, no, right. I guess, personally, do I think of it as true crime? Like, no, I think of it more. Do you think of is Serial true crime? Like, do you think of the first episode of Serial as true crime?
Well, it was like this. What usually when I'm listening to like true crime, right, I'm trying to like unpack and solve the mystery. And there is a mystery here, but the mystery isn't necessarily the crime. Right. If that makes sense. It was beautifully done. And it was just, I just found it to be so unique to where like I found myself questioning, like, and then I realized like I'm not listening. The crime part of it and the criminal justice aspects of it, because there are some interesting pieces there too, are certainly an intriguing part of the story. But the part I'm invested in is the relationship.
Yeah. You know, in some ways, I love the fact that I came to this story through Shakespeare, like that I met Trung in this Shakespeare troupe, because first of all, the story itself is a Shakespearean story. I mean, we've got identical
twins. I love that
twin,
theme throughout. Yeah.
Crazy cases of mistaken identity, competition, sibling competition for like the love and attention and affirmation of your parents.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the the Romeo and Juliet kind of like warring houses, like all of these like very kind of Shakespearean themes. And like being the English nerd that I have always been, it then provided me this like legitimacy to give the whole series a kind of Shakespearean frame and to like actually bring in Shakespeare's plays and characters and to talk about this modern day story against the backdrop of like a lot of what Shakespeare had written. And like, to me, that kind of elevated it from just like the crime, the mystery. It's kind of more that human, that like complicated, nuanced human dimension.
It's such a layered story. And I loved how you kept continually like bringing back the Shakespeare references throughout it. You can tell that you are an author. Did you write all of it yourself or did you have anybody else helping you with the writing?
So I worked with an amazing team at Campside Media. And there were a couple of producers there who I worked with on the scripts. And again, when I started this, I mean, I've been writing for 25 years. I had not written for audio.
Right.
And it was definitely a steep learning curve. And I also felt like, and it's, I don't know, it's really interesting. I mean, like, I'm glad you feel like it works. Like, I feel like I was often pushing back a little bit, like, I want to get my like writer, my like writerly thing. And they're like, no, it's not like,
right.
You need to make it more like sharp and concise for audio. And I think we found that balance.
You did for sure. And even if maybe like the way that you were projecting certain things that, you know, are they're always different when you're writing for spoken word. But to me, like it still listened like a really good book. You could tell that there's layers, like you're thinking in episode 2, you're laying groundwork for something we're going to hear about in episode 4. It was everything weaved together very good. Like I read a ton of like psychological thriller books, and like the best ones are when like you could tell it was outlined so well that all the little clues were like peppered in there throughout. And that's kind of how the whole series felt to me.
That was really intentional. That's like English nerd, like 101. Like,
yeah.
You know, what are the symbols that you're going to, you know, and like, what's the foreshadowing that you're going to kind of sprinkle through that's going to come back later? I don't know. I just like geek out over that stuff.
Yeah, me too. I was enthralled. And truthfully, usually, you know, I'll get an advanced cut, you know, listen to something before I'm interviewing somebody, and I'll listen to enough of it that, you know, I'm super busy at 3 jobs. So I'm like super busy trying to like get it all done. But I listen enough. So, okay, I know what's going on. And this one, I was just like hooked. I listened to 6 episodes in like an 8-hour span because I just had to get through all of them because I just had to know how the whole thing ends.
So happy.
Yeah, it's just such a unique story. So let's get into the story a little bit, as much without giving anything away. You've mentioned some of the key points and stuff that's already come out in episodes 1 and 2. But the basis of the story is, you know, like you said, these identical twins. There's an incident at the party. So I'll let you share as much as you're comfortable with about, you know, like what happens. Because we learned this pretty quick right at the beginning, the kind of foundation of the story.
Doing taxes the old way meant handing everything off and just hoping things were moving. But now, you can feel confident your taxes are being handled right with Intuit TurboTax. Now you match with a TurboTax full-service expert. Just upload your documents right in the app, and boom, they take it from there. Start to finish, you've got a dedicated expert working your return. They check every deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome, so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And now you're not guessing what's happening, you're seeing it happen. TurboTax gives you real-time updates on your expert's progress while you go about your day. Run errands, grab a coffee, live your life. You're always in the loop. And if a question pops up, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Taxes are finally transparent, easier, and handled. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax full-service experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. 1 in 4 honest, hardworking, taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity theft.
But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number, the Million Dollar Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
So within the first two episodes, you've learned that you've got these two identical twin brothers. They came here as kids from Vietnam. They grew up in public housing in San Jose, really kind of a scarcity mentality. So Their parents didn't have a lot, and they, I think, felt displaced and out of place for a very long time. So like a lot of their background is like this search for identity, for belonging, for like, who are they in this country? And they're really relying on each other, but then they're also competing a lot with each other, which, you know, becomes really important. And they get kind of sucked into various underworlds in their community, organized crime, street gangs. When they are 18, they're at a party and a fight breaks out. And we learn that Trung rushes into this fight. I won't share exactly why, but he rushes into this fight. He ends up stabbing an innocent person. And then the brothers kind of go on the run for about 24 hours. They're trying to figure out what to do. They're apprehended, taken in by police, and they're put in a lineup because it makes so much sense to put identical twins in a lineup.
They put them both in the same lineup.
It's absolutely legal to do that. Not.
Identical twins who are both suspects in the same crime, in the same lineup. Genius.
Like, crazy. And, like, at the point that this happens, and again, like, you know, you learn this in the first episode, you know that Trung is the brother that's guilty. And Trung is charged. Then they're both, for reasons we don't totally understand, they're both put in a lineup together. And lo and behold, the eyewitness, who is sitting behind the glass, picks out On. And picks out On twice. They run the lineup twice. And he picks out On both times. And so the deputy DA switches the charges. And Trung is released on bail with an accessory charge. And On is taken to county jail on suspicion of murder, which means that he is possibly facing a life sentence. And that the end of the first episode is incredibly powerful. So I don't want to give it away. But suffice it to say that neither brother says anything. So An doesn't stand up to say, hey, I'm innocent. It was my brother.
Right.
And Trung doesn't come forward, you know, to basically save his brother from this potential fate. That's where we end at the end of the first episode.
Yeah. It's just wild. And that was, I think that was the moment where I was starting to think about, like, what's the crime mystery here that we're solving? Because it was like, we know who did what, and then episode two comes along, and it's like, oh, this is the story. The story is over here. It's like you said, you reveal right in the beginning. We know what happened as far as what happened at the party, but it's how everything unfolds from there that becomes super interesting. Was there anything as you were investigating that really shocked you or surprised you along the way?
I mean, the lineup was really, really blew my mind. And that the fact that they relied on that one eyewitness's testimony so much. And for a while, I mean, I really did not understand why On doesn't say anything. I mean, I guess he does. I guess he does tell detectives it wasn't me. But that's different than saying, but I know who did it.
Yeah, it wasn't me. It was him.
It was him.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very clear to the authorities that it's got to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, just like the fact that On made that sacrifice. I mean, I guess I can in some ways I can understand Trung being scared and maybe not wanting to give up his freedom. I mean, he says I was essentially selfish. But to think about On, who spent almost 2 years in jail, and Trung constantly telling him, I've got your back, I've got your back, I'm going to get you out. And it's just like, I mean, even On's attorney got really fed up with him. He was like, On, if your brother was going to help you, he would help you. Like, why hasn't he helped you? And, you know, On's attorney was like, On was like the most unwilling, was like the most frustrating client. He wouldn't help me. He like refused. He refused to help me. And eventually, On's attorney was like, okay, you're not going to stand up for yourself. Like, I'm going to just go figure this out on my own.
Mm-hmm. There's so many layers to it, too. The big surprise for me, without giving it away, but how can I phrase that? The legal outcome of it, I was kind of, because there's like this little, it's spoken about a little bit, but it was like, from somebody who like works in the criminal justice system, it's like, besides the story that's going on, we know what happened. There's all these complications, and all these complications lead to this, which is kind of a crazy outcome for what happened, I think. Was that surprising to you?
This is so tough, because I have a hard time answering this question without thinking about the family of the victim. And we reached out to them, and they did not want to participate. I actually think they were quite upset that I was doing the story.
But I think you did your best, like, because you did, the listener will hear at the end, like, the statement that they gave at the sentencing hearing. So, like, we get to hear their voice in the best way you could let their voice
no,
be heard.
I mean, I tried. I absolutely, like, wanted to give them the space to do it. I'm just saying that, like, knowing what I know about how the party unfolded and how the fight unfolded, and, like, in particular, understanding Trung's psychology at the moment when he committed this terrible, terrible crime, not excusing it in any way, but I actually kind of understand, like, how they were able to end up giving him the specific sentence that he received.
I think it didn't jump out to me until the end, because it's like, you're so caught up in this relationship, you kind of forget about the other half of it. And then you make a point to bring back the victim and the victim's family, put them on the front. And I think it was at that moment I'm like, oh, because I found myself just rooting for both Trung and On the whole time. And so I'm like, well, that's as good as it can be. And then it's like, oh, wait, you know, I almost forgot about that element of it. And that was the part that surprised me, was when it was. And then, you know, there's also another layer that I found myself wrestling with the whole time, and wondering if the brothers or even you wrestled with it, where it's very clear who's guilty, right? Like, who did this and who's responsible. But, like, if you take it, if you peel back one layer, the situation came about because of the other one. It's like, I was always going back and forth, like, who's really at fault here?
Well, and I think that they grapple with that.
Yeah.
They grapple with that. I mean, I'm trying to decide whether to, you know, there's a crucial detail. I mean, so it's a stabbing, it's a knife, and the origin of the knife is actually extremely, to me, like, very relevant, very symbolic. I mean, this is another, like, you don't get more Shakespeare.
It's like one more layer, and then it swings back the other way. Right?
Yeah, like, you don't get more Shakespearean than this when you learn kind of where the knife comes from. But that goes to your point of, like, who is really to blame. But I also think that it kind of goes to this broader question of, like, how, of, like, and, like, thematically, like, what I was thinking about the whole time as I was putting this together is, like, how much of like who we are as individuals, like how much control do we actually have over like who we are versus like the people and the forces? It's like a nature versus nurture thing. But like in mm-hmm. this case, nurture obviously being like your environment and your parents, but like the people who are closest to you, like your siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And being twins and sharing that DNA, but also being very different, but also relying on each other.
Yeah.
So like it's hard to tease out, take it, you know, like who bears responsibility for what, at what point and when. I mean, Trung bears 100% bears responsibility for killing a man. But there's all of this stuff that happens up until the moment, up until that moment, and then mm-hmm. from that moment.
Right.
That becomes really hard to tease apart.
I think that's what's so intriguing about the whole story. And so I think I'm going to do this before I feel like I've done. I'm so proud of myself for not giving away any spoilers so far. So I think this is how I want to kind of wrap things up. And I'll give one of them. If there's anything else you want to. I think a good way to handle to the listeners is if we just kind of suggest to them certain things that you should really pay attention to. Like you just mentioned one of them, which is the knife. Don't get lost in, oh, there was a stabbing. Like, pay attention to where the knife came from and things like that. Are there any other like certain things where you're, when your people are listening, where you're like, I hope they catch on to this without giving it away, or do you want them just to experience as they experience it?
Yeah. I mean, okay. So the knife is definitely a really big one. I mean, small details that almost feel a little bit like throwaway, but I feel like, and I would have pushed them farther if we had had more time and space. But, you know, we kind of get through Trung in the first episode, maybe a little bit in the second. We talk a little bit about the twins' dad's background and kind of leaving Vietnam and like what happened, like why he left and why he was trying to leave. And to me, that kind of like forms like the kind of the emotional core of like what right. pushes the twins into this underworld in a lot of ways, and kind of how the American dream gets distorted and twisted, and how they kind of reshape it in their own way. I find really interesting. I would be thinking a lot about Romeo and Juliet and the similarities. I mean, there are characters in this story that like actually in a way play out the role that characters in that play. It's almost like it was scripted. So I would think about that. And also, I think, you know, when you're thinking about An and like the extent to which An may or may not be a victim of this story, to me, just like the moment when then An decides to actually like step up and really like harnesses all of his courage in a way, you know, it's like until this certain point, like his force has been like a force in a lot of ways, like a force of aggression and a force of power. And yeah. At the end, he manages to harness all of that in a totally unexpected way that
yeah, for
I think
sure.
you could arguably saves the brothers' lives, both of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There's just so much.
There is. And I'm excited for you for it to go out to the world. I noticed like when I was looking at the Dropbox files that it says they were completed five months ago. At least the files, and I'm like, oh my God, she's had to, after finishing it, has to wait for all these months for it to come out. I'm sure it's killing you.
Yeah. Well, it's a complicated time for narrative podcasting right now.
Right. Yeah.
So it's coming out. I mean, you know, I'm very so, happy.
For those of you listening right now, Blood Will Tell has released. It is out. The first two episodes are out. They dropped on Thursday. And then there's a total of 6 episodes in the series. And I presume the other ones will be coming out one every Thursday for the next 5 weeks.
Correct.
Or 4 weeks.
4 weeks. Yeah.
Excellent. So check out Blood Will Tell. And Jen Miller, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and you did a fantastic job on the podcast.
Paul, thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weber. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X at Truth Justice Pod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney. And Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.